Let us pray. Help us to think and feel our way into the subject of the day. And through that, to find you in the center of the life that we are living. Amen. The reading today is from Matthew 21. The verses are 33 through 46, and this is the gospel reading for today. It's written, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slave to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get our inheritance, and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scripture, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard the parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. There ends the reading. The article that's inserted in your bulletin will deal directly with the text. It has all the word studies and the exegesis in it. What I want to talk with you about is a little different and is related to the text, but not as directly as what's in the article. This is going to be an elaboration of the prayer confession in the bulletin. Most people have the idea that life makes sense and will work out. And this week I was asking myself, where do we get an idea like that? I think for all of us, something like that is a wish. We want it to be true. We need to believe it. So we hold on to the idea, and it becomes like an assumption that we never question. Life makes sense, and it will work out. Eventually, people who believe in God even ascribe this assumption to God. They believe that God already knows what the sense of life is and how life will work out, and that God knows that, And then people refer to this as God's plan. A great many people live with this assumption in place. And I would offer to say that rarely, if ever, does it get examined or questioned. Even if we face something, a personal tragedy, it doesn't get questioned. And not even in the face of the carnage that we see in the media, particularly things like Las Vegas, we just kind of go along with this idea, well, it's part of God's plan. I think the human need for life to make sense and work is so great and it's so pressing that we settle into the assumption, even though it's not quite believable, but we just don't pay attention to it not being quite believable. There are sayings in our culture. The one I run into most is the saying, it's all good. Another one would be, it is what it is. And I'm always confused by those, it's all good. And then I realize, well, I think those are attempts to help anybody cope with a dilemma where we would like to say, well, if this is part of God's plan, the plan is a bad plan. I think a lot of people feel that, but they don't say it. But then if we said that, it's hard to know how you'd make sense out of things and how things would work out. And those are actually experiences that we really need. Life would go poorly if we didn't have them. So what I want you to do is consider two things. And what I mean by consider is I want you to think about them for a while. The first is that I'd like you to think about the fact that there actually is no plan, in the sense that what is going to happen in life is already known and laid out. It's easy to say, but I actually want you to think about it for a couple of weeks. Think about the fact that life is not laid out, you know, and where it's going is not already known. No plan. But the second thing is also that life actually does not make sense most of the time. And what I mean that is it doesn't make sense in the sense that there's already a purpose that's known and methodically working out. I think most people do not entertain those notions seriously, because if they were true, it seems that then there would be nothing but random chaos in life. And I don't think the average human being can tolerate that for very long. The need for some order is really great for all of us, it really is. But what I'm suggesting is that we stop thinking of order as something already existing which will be maintained. So not thinking of order as that, something that's already existing and will be maintained, but begin thinking of order as something that is continuously created when an existing order is shattered. So I'll say it again. The distinction is important. Most people think that life as they know it is order and it should be maintained. And I'm asking you to think that through. Think instead that actually the order of life is something that is continuously created, especially when an existing order is shattered in some way. I'm suggesting that we stop thinking of the sense of life as something that already exists and begin thinking of the sense of life as something that changes, that actually unfolds as life happens and becomes clearer. The purpose becomes, the sense becomes clearer as life unfolds. When the form of a person's life, the way it is ordered, is shattered, another form is fashioned, another order is fashioned, which builds upon the one that has ended. And that would be the plan. I think we need, it's important for people to believe that it's not just chaos. But I'm suggesting that you think about the order, the plan, as being the fact that order is always being fashioned. And particularly, it comes out of what has been shattered. The first order, the one we're familiar with, does not collapse so the second can emerge. That's very important. You know, if you have a life and it's a good life, and something happens that really shatters that, another order will form. But the first order didn't shatter, so the second order could happen. Very important. I think the first order collapses because of some chaos, internal, external chaos. And when that occurs, another order is created. So the idea that you rest in is that God always brings order out of chaos. I think most people are unaware of how wearing it is to live in a thought world where things are supposed to make sense and work out. We take it for granted, so we don't pay attention to what it does to us. But since life is supposed to work out, when it doesn't, then what? And I think there are only a couple of choices for people. One is you need to figure out who's at fault that it didn't work out, or you need to figure out how to convince yourself that it's all good. And that's stressful. I think most of us are depleted by the effort to maintain the belief that it's all good. And it's not really possible. After something like Las Vegas, it would take a real disconnection from our own experience to believe, well, it's all good, because it wasn't all good for a whole lot of folks. I think we are more depleted by the idea that if we can assign blame or find fault, it somehow makes everything better. If you think that way, I really encourage you to think about that. The problem with both of those maneuvers is that they distract us from the feelings we're having and need to be feeling. The truth is, it's not all good coming out of Las Vegas. An immense amount of pain and suffering was created, and to believe that it didn't happen somehow pushes away the fact that everybody's impacted by that, more or less impacted by that. And the impact actually needs to be felt, needs to be experienced. A comment would be, we believe in God not because things make sense and work out. We believe in God because they often don't work out. We believe in God because there needs to be some one, capital O, one, some one, who can carry the weight of taking the broken pieces of the internal and external chaos and weave them into something other and more, so that we can have the freedom to feel the pain and the grief that unavoidably comes when life does not work out. If the need to hold everything together is too great, a person will not process the experiences that are pressing on them. And that's not good. And I think as adults, it's possible to think, I mean, use our heads, and to think that the order and purpose we need in life are things that are emerging. And that's not something a child can do. It's impossible for kids to do that. But when you're older, that's a concept that we can actually hold to. Think of it this way. When life falls apart, the order that we need emerges. What has passed is past, and that has to be grieved. But something else emerges. I think it's possible for adults to learn to rest not in the order and purpose that they've already experienced, but they can rest in the truth that God will always bring order and purpose out of whatever disruption chaos brings. And a person can learn to live that way. And the reason I think that's important is that as you get older, you find that life doesn't work out the way you want it to. And if you have no place to go with that, a person despairs very quickly. But there actually is something to rest in, and that is the idea that when one order goes, another forms. And it always includes what has passed. In some way, what has passed is not left. It's just another forms. I think the task in adulthood is to take on what this asks of us, and this is actually not that easy. I think adults need to learn to experience the feelings and the emotions that inevitably come to us when chaos strikes, and it will. We've talked before about how on any particular day, the universe is never more than 50.1% ordered. There's always some chaos in the day. Mostly our days are fairly ordered, but occasionally they're not. But even in the days when they're not so ordered, it's helpful to keep this frame of mind in place. What we rest in is the reality that the order that is passing away is always succeeded by another one that forms. That's what God does. So if we go back to the call to worship this morning, the sentence was, lead us out of confusion to simplicity. Okay, let's try this. I think when chaos strikes, our minds drown in the confusion of trying to make sense out of what happened. Maybe it doesn't make sense, but our minds need to do that. They drown in the effort to make sense of what happened and restore some order by trying to find out either who's at fault or what to fix. So you watch, there's going to be an immense amount of energy into bump stocks after Las Vegas. And I'm not saying that's bad, but it's not going to deal with the actual problem, which is all the grief and pain that were created there. We need to believe that it's all good. And the belief is so high, so urgent, that we believe it's all good even when it isn't. And then we can't allow that it isn't good, and that's not helpful. I suggest that the simplicity that is there is that a person needs to trust, or rest rather, in God bringing another order from the chaos. That takes time. God's not in a hurry. But that's a simple truth a person can rest in. And the other part of the truth is we need to simply take the time to have the feelings like grief that the chaos creates in us, because it isn't all good. Sometimes it's really bad, and God will bring another order to our life through the pain or the grief of what has passed. I'm going to stop for now, but we can pick the same subject up in the conversation if you wish. We'll be quiet for a while.